have nowhere else to go.
Flood watches are in effect for parts of the Pacific Northwest. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen.
It has been raining and snowing and pretty heavily at times across portions of Oregon, as well as Washington State, Idaho, Montana, northern sections of California.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another case of bird flu is confirmed in Wisconsin, this time at a commercial poultry farm in Barron County. This after recent confirmed cases in Taylor and Trumbull counties. State and federal agriculture officials say the birds have been euthanized to keep the disease from spreading. The next Wisconsin Supreme Court campaign is already underway. Waukesha judge and former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel announced he's running last week. Observers say his early entry shows how much is at stake.
We're in ground zero here in Wisconsin, so I would expect this to be a big race and really to have the world's attention, the country's attention. So, yep, this is going to be a big one.
Patrick Garossi helped run Janet Protasiewicz's campaign. He was on Upfront on WYSN-TV. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, December 5th. In Wood County, the Operation Committee will meet at 9 a.m. The Wisconsin Rapids Finance and Property Committee will meet at 4. The City of Nakusa will hold the following meetings. The Public Works meeting at 5, Property, Recreation, and Human Affairs at 5:30, and the Personnel meeting at 6. The Village of Port Edwards will hold their Village Board public hearing on the 2024 budget at 7, followed by their regular monthly meeting. The Town of Grand Rapids Legislative Committee will meet at 5. In Portage County, the Traffic Safety Commission will meet at 10, the Executive Operations Committee at 5, and the Land and Water Conservation Committee will meet at 7. In Adams County, the Land and Water UWEX Committee meeting will take place at 1. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. By the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Packers upset the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers were 5.5-point underdogs to the Kansas City Chiefs. They proved the odds makers wrong. Green Bay 27, the Chiefs 19. Christian Watson with 2 touchdown catches before he had to leave the game with a hamstring injury.
I just think the offense as a whole is clicking a lot more. I think we found our groove. It's been showing.
The Chiefs have now fallen to 8-4, and they host the Bills next week. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, obviously we're not where we want to be yet, but I feel like we're close. We're playing a lot of good football teams really well. Be focused on another challenge this next week coming at Arrowhead.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers will face the LSU Tigers in the ReliaQuest Bowl, formerly the Outback Bowl in Tampa. The kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. The Badgers with a record of 7-5 against the Tigers at 9-3. Luke Fickell says his team will remain physical.
We all know what this program's been built on, right? It doesn't mean it has to change.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 36 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, winds out of the south, around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow showers, tonight, 26. A dusting of snow, tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. Help Smile Train change the world one smile at a time. Learn more at smiletrain.org/learn.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
It's got...
Have you ever wondered why there's a NASCAR driver statue in this area? It's for Wisconsin Rapids native Dick Trickle, one of the first from the state to make it to the national circuit. Trickle was named the winningest short track driver in history. Along with a statue, he has several races here and across the country named in his honor. For locally grown radio, WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
If you don't know history, you're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making, a lot of it made over this weekend. We're going to start again, sadly, with Tommy Tuberville. For 9 months, he has blocked officer promotions in our entire military. For nine months. Just now, the USS Kearney was fired on in the Red Sea. Two commercial ships, friendly to us, were fired on in the Red Sea. The Kearney knocked the missiles down. 10% of the world's trade goes through the Red Sea, believe it or not. 10% of the world's trade goes through the Red Sea. And this Confederate white supremacist chicken hawk traitor, Tommy Tuberville, is using unanimous consent to block promotions of our military. And a lot of generals and admirals now are putting in their retirement for the end of this month. We're losing hundreds of years of accumulated experience because of a Confederate white supremacist, because of a chicken Senate that won't do anything about it. Schumer is about to put in a resolution that would override unanimous consent, but it's being filibustered by the Republicans. So it takes 9 Republican votes to overcome the filibuster, and they don't have it yet. Here's the latest. 20 House members, Republicans, 20 House representatives, 20 House, including the Freedom Caucus, but some others, wrote to Tuberville over the weekend, thanking him for his 9-month delay, his 9-month hold on military promotions. And there's more than 400 of them. And it's not now just flag officers. It's any officer that requires Senate confirmation. One of the senators, the Alaska senator, went to him, and this is very, very sad, and said, Mr. Tuberville, would you consent to permitting the promotions of 3-star and below and just holding up the 4-stars? That is one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard, that they're negotiating with a Confederate white supremacist, offering him to hold up the most senior admirals and generals, the 4-stars. The way this works, you get promoted up in the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, Marines, up to colonel in the Army and up to captain in the Navy. When you go above that, in the Navy, that's rear admiral. It used to be Commodore. You've heard of Commodore Perry, John Paul Jones, you heard of him. He was a Commodore. A Commodore is an intermediate rank in the Navy that hasn't been used in a long time. That was one star. A Rear Admiral is two stars. Vice Admiral is three stars. Full Admiral is four stars. And in the Army, you have Major Generals, Lieutenant Generals, and Generals. Major General will be two-star, Lieutenant General three-star, and so forth. The Alaska Republican senator went to Tuberville and begged him, instead of beating the hell out of him, instead of taking him and putting him in jail for being a traitor, begged him to say, okay, you can continue to hold up four stars. Let's hold the phone on that. The four-star generals and admirals are our senior military officers. Occasionally, five stars have been given. For instance, to Dwight Eisenhower in the Second World War. If you are commanding an entire theater of war, a consequential war to our country, maybe you get five stars. Tuberville said, no, I want to stop three stars and two stars. I want to stop all military promotions that require Senate confirmation because they're a bureaucracy. I think there are too many of them. He threw in the abortion thing. But then he said they're woke. How would a Confederate white supremacist from Alabama who never served know what woke means? What woke means is that some of these promotions are going to go to black officers and female officers. And he doesn't think they should be in the military. That's what he means by woke. I have never met a Navy or an Army officer or a Marine officer who, by any definition of the word, would be considered woke by anybody. They're military. They're very brave. Many of them, most of them have been in combat. Some of them have been wounded. People like Tuberville would run for the hills if they heard a shot fired in anger. He thinks he's a Confederate white supremacist, but you know, his kind, back in 1861, when the Confederacy started to draft an army, all deserted. Or they claimed they had to work the farm. Or they disappeared when the going got tough. When the going got tough, they disappeared. So what's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Some of the Republican senators said, well, we will step up by the end of the year. But by the end of the year, you're going to have a lot of these people who will have retired and will have lost hundreds of years of indescribably important military experience. We go to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jean, what's in your mind today?
Well, hi, Matt. I mean, you know, these people are out of control. And they're a danger. They should not be in those offices. They're a danger to our security. They're a danger to our democracy. They're a danger, you know, to our country. And they just laugh it off, and they seem like they're not even serious about what's going on. And really, they all need to be replaced. This is just ridiculous. But thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Gene. I share your outrage, and I say this not just because I've served too, but people like Tuberville, when he describes military officers as a bureaucracy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You need leadership. You need leadership right at the platoon level in the Army. You need leadership right at the deck division level in the Navy. In the Navy, your officer might be an ensign or a lieutenant JG. In the Army, it might be a second lieutenant or a first lieutenant. But whether it was in Vietnam or whether it's in anything having to do with the ocean, the high seas, what we call the brown water Navy. The brown water Navy, or Navy where we have smaller boats go up rivers, they call it brown water Navy. In Vietnam, you had the swift boats and that kind of thing. The blue water Navy is what you think of as the Navy, the oceans, But it's a big planet. It's a big planet with a lot of water in it. And there are a lot of continents with a lot of land on them and a lot of bad people. Soldiers and sailors need leaders. They need platoon officers and they need deck division officers, but they also, up higher, need captains of ships, executive officers of ships, commanding officers of regiments, of brigades. You want to know when potentially your life is in danger that somebody who has more experience than you and has proven him or herself are going to make decisions that minimize the risk to you, but maximize the opportunity to effectuate your mission. And then you need leaders above them. This is not a bureaucracy. You need, it's not they sit around in the office somewhere and don't do any work. You need guidance, you need leadership. There's an admiral in charge of the second fleet, which is the Atlantic, the third fleet, the Pacific, the seventh fleet, the far Pacific, the fifth fleet, Bahrain. Right now, Tuberville has denied a commanding officer in Bahrain to the fifth fleet, and the USS Kearney, which is part of the fifth fleet, just got fired on. They should have an experienced commanding officer looking out for them. We're going back to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling us. Remind me, Wisco Paul.
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking my call. Very quickly, as someone that actually won the lottery, the only lottery I ever won in my life, you need leadership. If you don't have good leadership, people that can even basically read a map and stuff, you're going down, baby. And you need people you respect also. So that's my two cents. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head. We need leadership. Soldiers need leadership. Sailors need leadership. Tom of West Allis, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, eh, Tom?
Hi there. Real quickly, I was listening to Liz Cheney this morning, and she had mentioned that she's trying to figure out what Tuberville is up to, and said that it's possible that he is holding out so when Trump gets elected, he can put his own people, which really scares the hell out of me when he puts his own people in the charge of the military.
Yeah, that's an interesting, and I've heard that before. And I can tell you, as someone having been in the military, our service academies that produce our best officers uniformly produce patriots. So I don't think Trump is going to be able to find people that are crooked like him. I don't think they are, number one. Number two, they have to be confirmed by the Senate. And unless the entire Republican Party goes crooked, some of these people are not going to get confirmed. But number three, Tuberville cannot possibly, in my judgment, drag this out till January of 25. If he does that, and we have no officers, every single senator should be dragged by the heels out of office and thrown in the street. Because the Democrats could do it with 51 votes if they had 51 votes, and just get rid of the filibuster for it, and unanimous consent just for military promotions, but they won't do it. Now, maybe it's because Manchin and Sinema won't do it. But I think it's because they like being in the club with the velvet slippers. I'm tired of all of them. Tired of all of them. Coming up, you're not going to believe this. Trump wants the officers who defended the January 6th insurrection criminally charged.
Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its seven lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres and a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Well, you won't believe this. I didn't believe it. Then I put it in context. This is the kind of thing that happened in Germany in the 30s. Now I do believe it. Donald Trump has announced that he wants the Capitol police officers who stood up to the January 6th insurrectionists criminally charged with assault for fighting the insurrectionists. Yeah, that's exactly what I just said. Donald Trump now wants the Capitol police officers who resisted the January 6th insurrectionists themselves to be criminally charged for, quote, fighting with the insurrectionists. Now, you have to know the context of this kind of diseased flip-flop of reality and truth. In the 1930s, this was a characteristic, and before that, actually, Mussolini in the 20s, but Hitler and his party. If you do something enormously bad, in the case of Hitler invading Poland, in the case of Mussolini, many atrocities, you have to do two things. One of them, by the fascist playbook, is to lie and deny it or say that the other side did it to you first. And the second thing you have to do, whatever it is that you do, you deny it's you doing it, but it's the guy that you're doing it to is doing it to you instead. Now, the January 6th police were true heroes. You look at that video, they were badly outnumbered. One of them is down on the ground being stamped to death, and he begged and he said he had four daughters and he succeeded not getting killed. Another got his head caught, it looked like in a door, it was screaming. These cops were overwhelmed, beaten, punched, dragged downstairs by their ankles with their heads bouncing off the stairs. That's a good way to get a subdural hematoma. Another one was a very smart guy. He saw the insurrectionists coming up the stairs, and he knew that if they went into the Senate, you still had Pence in there and a couple of other senators, so he pretended to go the other way, and they followed him, and he decoyed them away from the senators who remained. Now, if you think through history about how this is used, it's used by people like Hitler. When he invaded Poland in 1939, remember, he invaded Czechoslovakia before that, and the British under Chamberlain went along with it. But when he invaded Poland, it triggered an awful lot of treaties, and it commenced World War II. Of course, we didn't get until 1941 with the bombing of Pearl Harbor. But in any event, they set up a fake attack by Poland against Germany. There was a little outpost right near the border, and they had people, they sent Germans to that outpost to then fire a few shots into Germany. And then Hitler just announced that they'd been attacked by Poland. That's ridiculous. Poland in 1795 had been partitioned up among Russia, Prussia, and Austria. It didn't even exist for the entire 19th century. It didn't exist until after the First World War. That's when it went back on the map. So the First World War, let's say it ended in 1917. In 1939, 22 years later, you think that Poland, that had virtually no army, no equipment, had been from 1795 written off the map, suddenly decided to attack the most powerful army in Europe. And yet the Germans say, oh, well, I guess if he said it did, it did. This business of a fascist lying and saying that the other guy did it to him when he did it to the other guy is textbook. It's being played out elsewhere right now in this campaign. Over the weekend, Trump took all of the arguments Democrats are making about destroying democracy and just said right out of whole cloth, Biden's destroying democracy without any details. Suddenly, some of his supporters repeat it. You have to understand the nature of a fascist. You have to understand, and what I've said in the past, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. It's galloping in on stallion's feet right now. You know, Liz Cheney just said a couple of days ago, we're sleepwalking into a dictatorship. This is exactly Hitler's tactics. Hitler said, Poland just invaded us. I must protect Germany. And then he invaded Poland, ended up killing 6 million people in the Holocaust and many more millions, Slavic people and otherwise. And then Stalin killed well over 20 million people. That's what they launched by line. To say, as Trump just said, that the Capitol police officers, law enforcement, should be criminally charged for defending themselves and the Congress, which was their duty, from people who are out to murder them. Because remember, hang Mike Pence. And Trump would say, well, they're just a bunch of tourists getting carried away. They had a gallows. It was a functioning gallows. That gallows was not constructed in 5 minutes when they decided to go up there. That gallows had been constructed days before by carpenters who knew what they were doing. They were there to kill Mike Pence. If Mike Pence had come walking down the hallway, they would have grabbed him and either stomped him to death or hung him. And then they were going around saying, oh, Nancy, oh, Nancy. They would have beaten her to death. They almost beat a cop to death. They would have beaten her to death. She's a, what, 100-pound woman? Older, very slim woman in her 80s. She's in her 80s now. I guess she was in her late 70s then. Maybe she was 80. They were there for murder. One of them got killed. One of the officers, remember, they had weapons because they were officers. They didn't want to use them. But the glass was breaking, and they were afraid they would come in, and there were many congressmen still on the floor. They had not yet been evacuated. And as one of them came in, an officer fired, as he was supposed to do, and he killed one of the insurrectionists. Trump wants him tried for murder. Trump is the guy that did a sing-along with prisoners, whom he refers to as hostages. Now, it's one thing if you're out there thinking of voting Republican to say, okay, I'm a Republican. It's quite another thing to be out there and say, I'm going to vote for a guy who says that he's going to criminally charge, and he would have his attorney general, if he put in a guy like Jeffrey Clark, criminally charge police officers for defending themselves. For defending themselves. And you can say even the six tarantulas wouldn't go along with that. Maybe after long appeals. But if Trump doesn't provide attorney's fees for these officers, what are they supposed to do? This is sick beyond measure. It is very, very sick beyond measure. Coming up, news, weather, and guess who Trump is threatening now in New York when the gag order prevents him from threatening the judge, Engoron, and his clerk.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Senate's new Democratic minority leader has a good relationship with Governor Evers and can work with Republican majority leader Devin Lemahue. That's according to J.R. Ross of WisPolitics on WISN-TV's Upfront. Senate Democrats chose Diane Hasselbein of Middleton to take over now that Melissa Agard is running for Dane County Executive. Ross says it remains to be seen if Hasselbein is an effective fundraiser. Airports around Wisconsin are getting money for safety and infrastructure upgrades. The Federal Aviation Administration is giving out $38 million in airport improvement grants. The money will upgrade runways, terminals, and roads. There are also plans for sustainability projects. The grants are part of a growing list of Wisconsin projects as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The average statewide gas prices have fallen another 2.3 cents per gallon during the last week. It's now over 22 cents per gallon lower than this time last month and over 9 cents lower than a year ago. The average across Wisconsin is $2.91 per gallon today. This is now 11 straight weeks of decline. Head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, Patrick DeHaan, said production cuts are continuing as demand falls. It's possible the national average could still decline to $2.99 per gallon by the end of the year. In north central Wisconsin, gas prices range from $2.74 to $2.89. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue and other tax industry partners caution against scams during National Tax Security Awareness Week. Check security recommendations to enhance your online security as you shop during holiday and tax seasons. Especially beware of gift card scams related to taxes. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Packers beat the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers beat the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, the final. Green Bay 27, the Chiefs 19. Jordan Love with three touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 118 on what's been working for him.
Understanding where I need to go with the ball, but they've been doing a great job giving me time. And then receivers, obviously, just they're having awareness of when they need to be open. It's definitely something we as a team have just been, we've practiced.
Chiefs coach Andy Reid.
They used the clock. They were letting it run down to that 5 seconds and below, and they were getting first down.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers will face the LSU Tigers in the ReliaQuest Bowl, formerly the Outback Bowl, in Tampa. The kickoff, 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. The Badgers with a record of 7-5 against the Tigers at 9-3. Luke Fickell says his team will remain physical.
We all know what this program's been built on, right? It doesn't mean it has to change.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 36 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, winds out of the south, around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow showers, tonight, 26. A dusting of snow, tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let me tell you what's happening in the Tisha James's case in New York City. Remember, there was a gag order preventing Trump from criticizing or attacking the clerk. It was suspended briefly. He attacked her again. He attacked the judge. Now there is a gag order back reimposed by the Court of Appeals, prohibiting his attacking the court staff, including the clerk and the judge. So what do you think Trump did? He now has attacked Judge Engoron's wife because technically, he says, she's not named in the gag order. And here's what he said, and then let me tell you the remedy, in my view, and also one way to put a stop to this. He attacked her, said she's no good, and she's been posting things, nasty, bad things about him on social media. That is false. She doesn't post anything. There's no judge's spouse going to post anything. The origin of that story is there is a right-wing activist named Laura Loomer. And Laura Loomer posted on social media that Engoron's wife had posted these bad things that, in fact, were posted by others. Laura Loomer lied about it. Trump then picked that up and attacked Engoron's wife. Now, within the mud bath, which is the right wing, it's very, very easy for somebody to give Trump cover, lie about something, and then Trump likes that or reposts it, retweets it, and says, see, and this is bad, and then he claims, I wasn't the one who did it. They've got to put a stop to this. You cannot possibly envision everybody he could attack. For instance, if you added the wife, there'll be children, there'll be relatives. One way to handle this, and this is something none of these judges have done, and I understand why, but they may want to start thinking about it. Believe it or not, Trump is out on bail on these cases. I'm talking about the criminal cases, not the civil case. He's not out on bail in the civil case, but in the criminal cases, he's out on bail. If and when he attacks a judge or the relative of a judge or a prosecutor in the criminal cases, what would normally happen if you or I did it, or even somebody who committed a crime and had no influence at all and no money, they would put him in jail, not because of a gag order. There wouldn't be a gag order. It'd be because he violated the conditions of his bail. You're not supposed to attack court personnel and judges and their families. So when he attacked Judge Chutnik in Washington, D.C., or he attacks Fannie Willis, who's the prosecutor in Atlanta, those judges could revoke his bail. Sometimes people are out on personal recognizance. Sometimes they put up some sum of money. The reason they haven't is he's running for president. But I think when it comes to these kinds of threats, enough's enough. Now, in the case of Judge Engoron, there is nothing, no bail, because it's a civil case. However, and this should probably come from the Court of Appeals, not Engoron, so it doesn't look self-serving. However, what a Court of Appeals could do is essentially use the criteria of bail prohibitions and say very generally or broadly, if Trump attacks any court staff, any of their relatives, or anybody who reasonably could be seen as close to the court staff, he will be put in jail for 5 days or 10 days, or he will be deemed to violate this gag order and leave it up to Engoron to do it. This is intolerable. If they add the wife, he'll go after the kids. If they have the kids, he'll go after the nieces and nephews and publish their addresses and phone numbers. We're going to the line. John of Boaz, my friend. Thanks for calling, John. What's in your mind today?
Hi. Matt, do you know what we're doing with this Republican Party, why don't we give Bernie Sanders a call?
Well, what, you want him to join the Republican Party or what?
Well, okay. Well, if you think of Trump and who's this guy from Florida? Who's the governor from
DeSantis.
Florida? Those
DeSantis.
Two guys, they are liars. They are. What about this? This court has enough power to throw a contempt of court at Trump.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, you're hitting the nail on the head, and I leave Bernie out of it. Bernie's a good man. Bernie's not, you know, he's not, I suspect he won't even run for re-election given his age. But in any event, for contempt of court, you have to have a gag order that he violates. By continuing to violate the gag order in a sneaky, oblique way, for instance, going after spouses, going after relatives, going after kids, Jack Smith, remember, had to sell his house, and he's under 24-hour security, and his wife and kids. And Trump has attacked his wife. If that happened, and remember, that is a physical, that is a criminal case, so he's out on bail. If that happened to anyone else, they'd be in jail right now. Anyone else. What they're trying to do is bend over backwards to look like they're not somehow censoring him. And maybe he is hoping that they put him in jail so a mob comes down to try to spring him. He's a sick, sick individual. What I have no patience for are the people who are still going to vote for him, but they know better. They know better. People, businessmen, lawyers, doctors. There's some of them out there. You know who they are. You know some of them. This is going to end up getting somebody killed. You had somebody go and try to kill Tanya Chutkan. You had somebody go in Cincinnati to try to kill FBI agents. Trump is doing this on purpose. It may be that one of these judges in the criminal cases is going to have to say, Mr. Trump, stand up, make him stand up, and say, you have been doing this, and you have, and if you violate it again in any sense, attack or call attention to a member of the court staff, you will be put in that holding cell for 5 days. And if you do it again, it'll be 30 days. And then do it and put the Secret Service up in a cell next to him so they can keep an eye on him. The civil case in New York is different and more difficult because you're not out on bail in a civil case. But if you violate a gag order, that is contempt. And there's a thing called criminal contempt and civil contempt. Criminal contempt requires a jury trial, which would take months to do, unless the contempt is flagrant in the presence of the judge. If a guy says, F you, judge, you can put him in jail. But if he violates a gag order and is criminal, you want to put him in jail, you have to have a trial. What could be done is that the Court of Appeals enters it, not Engoron, a blanket gag order that's very, very broad. And if he violates it, start criminal contempt proceedings against him. But he's continuing to do this with Fannie Willis, with Tanya Chutkan and Jack Smith. And I think his bail should be revoked in those jurisdictions. We're going to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
Hey, I said months ago when he started all this nonsense that I believe they're afraid, the judges are afraid that this will rise through the appellate courts up to the Supreme Court. And knowing those tarantulas in there, they might go along with him. Yeah, it's his First Amendment rights. But maybe they're going to wait till something is so egregious that even the Supreme Court wouldn't side with it. So, you know, sooner or later, he is going to hang himself with his words. And I think that's what they're waiting for, Matt. Thanks. Bye.
They might, Andrew, but here's the problem. Here's the concern I have. What if the cataclysmic event they're waiting for is somebody gets murdered. We can't have that. We don't want it. We have the anomalous circumstance that we have a guy running for president who sadly was the president at one time with Russian collusion and Comey attacking Hillary Clinton and all of that, and did a great deal to damage the country, and now is ahead in the polls in the Republican primary. Although latest polls show Biden inching ahead of him in a general election, but in the Republican primary. And so I agree with you. They want something much more clear cut. I agree with you. It's a good insight. But what's more clear cut could end up being murder. And frankly, I think he wants that. You must understand he's a sociopath. He may even be a psychopath. I'll tell you, there's a thing called argumentative early onset dementia, argumentative. And you've seen there's some TV advertisements and commercials for certain kinds of care facilities and all that. But I have known a number of people with dementia, and some of them are quite docile. Some of them, you know, they smile, they sleep, they watch TV, and they have a very flat affect. But there's some who are argumentative. And some will hit people, scream, curse, argue at the drop of a hat. Trump is showing the signs of early onset argumentative dementia. Remember, Trump is only 3.5 years younger than Biden. Trump will be in his 80s if he were elected again. So there are many people in their late 70s and early 80s who I know who have had early onset dementia. Trump has it. Biden does not. Biden stuttered. He's in great command of himself. He's perfectly physically. He's good. And thank God he's calling the shots right now, given the Middle East, given Ukraine, given China, given everything he's facing. But Trump has early onset argumentative dementia. And he, during January 6th, remember that in 2021, January 6th, he sat chuckling in front of the TV. Go get him. And he wouldn't call off the dogs. He would not call them off, no matter. Sean Hannity called them. This one called them. Don Trump Jr. called them. All of them lying now and saying that he did the right thing. He didn't do the right thing. He wanted to see someone killed. You've got to get this through your heads out there if you are a Republican actually thinking of voting for Trump again. He takes pleasure in seeing someone killed. Part of it, and you know, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not going to get into shrinking his head. I mean, part of it is he didn't go to Vietnam and he lied about his bone spurs, but he's always been fascinated with the idea of people being killed as long as he himself wasn't the one being killed. But the guy, you know, to say that you're going to attack the judge's wife, that's a mafia tactic. That's a mafia tactic. Attack the judge's wife because she's not mentioned in the gag order. There isn't a basic sense of decency, responsibility, humanity to that. That's a cruel and sadistic thing. And I've said this before on the air, and I'll say it again now. Three very eminent psychologists, and remember, or psychiatrists actually, but remember one thing, they were doing this without examining him, so you can take it for that what it's worth, but they said that he's a sadonarcissist. He's a narcissist, but he has a sadistic streak to him. The way he treats women, the way he handles women, the tone of voice with women, he likes to see people injured. A sadist takes physical pleasure in the suffering of others. And that is what he is doing. And these judges had better figure out how to protect the broader mass of his targets. I'll tell you what, coming up, Mike Johnson, whose name I don't even like to mention, you will not believe the foreword to the book that he wrote.
To the Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season, from clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Well, I won't.
Welcome back to Matchland Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Mike Johnson, yes, that Mike Johnson, the speaker, who snuck in. There was a bit of jujitsu, a bit of judo by the Freedom Caucus. They squeezed Kevin McCarthy out because he had done a deal with the Democrats. They squeezed Tom Emmer out because they said they wouldn't vote for him on the floor. And Tom Emmer had been called a rhino by Trump. I still don't know why the Democrats didn't go to Emmer and agree to give him the extra votes, but they didn't. He was a moderate. He was a moderate. So then they got their guy. They got Mike Johnson. The least of his sins is that he says he doesn't have a bank account. I don't believe it. Somebody's depositing his check somewhere. But he's not financially transparent. He's also not transparent at all. He denies that there's separation of church and state. He would be a disaster if he ever got into executive authority. I'm deeply concerned that Trump might pick him as his VP. And if not, the scoundrel will be around 4 years from now to make trouble. But salt this away in the back of your minds. Here's what he just did. Mike Johnson wrote the foreword to a book and promoted it. It's a book on conspiracy theories against the Democrats. But it described poor voters. Here's how it describes it. Here's how he describes it. As unsophisticated and susceptible to government dependency. Now, let me tell you something in this forward. If you are thinking of voting for president or vice president, and let me tell you something, this guy Johnson is only one heartbeat behind Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is one heartbeat behind Joe Biden, then Kamala Harris, and then Mike Johnson. Over any senator, over any cabinet member, any general, over anybody. Johnson. He's not qualified. He does not believe in our Constitution. But more importantly, what kind of a speaker do you want who adopts these words? Poor voters are unsophisticated and susceptible to government dependency. Well, yeah, the Affordable Care Act, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unions that can get fair wages, environmental protections, consumer protections. Yeah, they are. They're not the only ones. I am too, and so are you. But to divide people up like that, to divide, it was very reminiscent of Mitt Romney when he ran. Remember when he said something like, the 45% are takers and everybody else is a giver. Maybe it's the other way around. This instinct in the Republican Party, and it's not shared by all Republicans, but this instinct in the Republican Party to denigrate what they call poor people. And by poor people, this is not a scientific statement about what the poverty level is. This is about average people, average people. And you frankly have to be very, very afraid that if a guy like Mike Johnson ever gets into more power than he has, and he already has quite a bit, would do as much or more damage long-term to this country as Trump. Trump is the worst, I get it, but he's also getting on in years, and he has early onset argumentative dementia. Mike Johnson is younger. He hath the lean and hungry look. He hath the sly and lean and hungry look. I don't trust his eyes. And he has said that in a book. Forward to a book. Poor people are unsophisticated. What's that, a crime to be unsophisticated? Susceptible to government dependency. He's very sneakily and slyly trying to suggest that the government dependency is welfare. But there isn't much welfare anymore. There truly is not. He's describing as welfare the Affordable Care Act, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and environmental and consumer protections and other protections. Protections from the EEOC that not be racially discriminated against in firing or based on your gender. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the whole infrastructure of modern American government. That is what he is talking about. And he isn't the only weirdo in the Republican Party, although he has more power and may be getting more power than the average Republican. There's another guy. The chairman of the Florida Republican Party. His name is Christian Ziegler. Christian Ziegler is a arch conservative. He is married to a woman who is the co-founder of Moms for Liberty. She has said publicly that public schools are indoctrination centers for the radical left, and she wants to bring religious values into them. So this is a Republican power couple. Okay. Except for one thing. Christian Ziegler is currently under investigation in Florida for rape and sexual battery. And he's the chairman of the Republican Party. And I haven't heard DeSantis or anybody else or Trump say boo about it. You know, there's a certain amount of hypocrisy. I mean, look, everybody's human. People say things. I get all that. But at some point, how do you have a chairman of your party in Florida be investigated for rape and he goes around saying the kind of things he does? How do you have the speaker of your house who says he's a compassionate guy and all this, and he says that poor people are susceptible to government dependency and they're unsophisticated, and to deny the separation of church and state? And as Liz Cheney has pointed out, he is also one of the architects of overturning the 2020 election. One of the architects, architecting with Texas the brief that tried to overturn it, ignoring all the court decisions. Coming up, a lot of news and weather. And how about this? This Johnson fellow also now says he's going to impeach Joe Biden.
My ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Broadcasting to Waukesha. Locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids,
1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
Protesters are outside the Supreme Court today, where justices are hearing arguments over a big